Blog Talk Radio.
What it do? Well, good evening, good evening, good evening. This is Pastor Bethel Hall with Truth Deliverance Ministry, and we are here with Nothing But the Truth during our youth segment on this evening. Hope everyone is doing well, doing well. Just want to open up with a word of prayer. And we can go forward. Eternal Father, oh God, we just thank you on this evening, oh God. We thank you, God, for who you are, oh Lord God. We thank you, God, for being sovereign, God, all-knowing, oh Lord God. We thank you, oh God, for the blessings that you've bestowed us on this day, oh God. We lift up this hour, oh Lord God, of just intimate time and study into your word, oh Lord God, a word, oh Lord God, that will encourage, that will edify our youth, God, our now generation, oh Lord God, to desire the more of you, oh Lord God, to desire to seek you more, God, to desire to love you, oh God, to desire to fear you, oh Lord God. We pray even now, oh Lord God, that this word, God, will permeate the hearts, the minds, oh Lord God, of our now generation, oh Lord God. In the name of Jesus, God, may it be a transforming word, God. May it be a life rejuvenating word, oh Lord God, a sustaining word, oh God. In the name of Jesus, God, we pray, oh God, your sovereignty, oh God, Holy Spirit, to be in the midst, oh Father God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. So on this evening, we're just going to talk a little bit about, I found myself in prayer on last week on Friday. We do a SOS, Save Our Seed prayer line with our apostle designee, Katie Pierce. And on that prayer line, as the intercessor, we're going forth in prayer. And I was just joining them and sitting at my desk, just meditating. And I heard the Spirit of the Lord say for our youth to return to the love of God. And the fear of God, and that's two of the most God is calling for in our youth, in our generation now, that's missing. We see now in the news, lift up your window, look down the street. We now are amongst a generation that, for the most part, does not know the love of God and does not have the fear of God. The fear of God. What do I mean by the fear of God? The fear of God, not that, trembling, I'm going to go to hell type fear, God's going to strike me down, not that type of fear, but the fear of just reverencing him, the fear of knowing who he is, of honoring him, of respecting him. And if you look down, up against any block in our school, turn on the TV, on social media, and music on our TV, wherever you look, you will see a generation that's missing that key factor of being fearful of God, of reverencing him, of honoring him, of respecting him. Even those that proclaim, to be Christians, that saved at a young age or the age that they are now, but yet there was no transformation that has taken place in their life, or better yet, maybe they weren't taught or educated on the fear of God or the love of God. So I found myself just really on this week just interceding for our young people that they will, that will be reestablished in them, the love of God, the fear of God, that they will think about him before they make decisions, that their love for him will begin to drive their behavior instead of worrying about, we'll put everybody else's feelings, thoughts, opinions before that of God. We don't want to, get caught doing something because, the mother get mad or, they say my mama gonna kill me or, those types of things, those types of decisions are driven in the wrong type of fear and in the wrong people. So we just want to sit and kind of talk about that a little bit on tonight. So what does it mean? What does it mean to fear God? What does it mean to fear God? And we're going to look at some scriptures on tonight that it kind of give us a foundation on where to go. And I hope our youth are listening to this. If they're not, go and grab them or share this word with the youth at your various churches, the ministries, wherever you have the opportunity to minister and instill this into them. But the fear of God, that is the reverence of him, the honor of him. The Hebrew word of fear is the word yare, is Y-A-R-E, and it just simply means to stand in awe, to reverence, to honor, to respect, to inspire, to reverence, or godly fear, like godly fear. And I like that the one that says to inspire reverence. So your fear of God, your fear in God should inspire reverence. What do I mean by that? There's a scripture in 1 Samuel, the 12th chapter and the 14th verse, and it says, if ye will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, the ye and also the king that reigneth over you will continue to follow the Lord your God. Now, what is that saying? That's saying that if you fear the Lord, if you serve him, if you obey his voice and not rebel against him, your fear, your awe, your reverence, your honor, your respect for God will be contagious and it will inspire others to do the same. Amen. So I was reading that. I was like, wow, that is amazing. And it says that both ye and both you and also the king that reigneth over you. Now, we're in times now when we're looking at a government that's in dire distress. We're approaching a time where the next president, either one, could make you go into prayer and intercession and in tongue when you're at the polling bowl because you don't want to pick either one of them. It's like choosing the lesser of two evils. But it says that if you have it, if you fear the God, if you serve him, if you obey him, then both it will inspire the king, it will inspire our government, it will inspire the lawmakers, it will inspire Springfield, it will inspire Washington, D.C., that reign over us, know that they don't reign, but they make decisions concerning this country. It will inspire them to follow the Lord. Again, that's 1 Samuel, the 12th chapter and 14th verse. And I was reading and just, you know, studying the word of God and just coming up with some ideas. And one of the things that stuck out to me is that fearing God is not because it's good. It's good because it saves us from caving into our own sinful nature. That's what the fear of God does. It keeps you. It preserves you. It restrains you. The fear of God should restrain you from caving into your own sinful nature. It should be that thing that guides you, that says, no, you don't want to do that, you know, because of my love for God. You know, God is ever present. And oftentimes, as young people, we don't think that God is with us. We don't think that, you know, that he's watching over us. Matter of fact, we don't think that he's right next to us. The Bible says that he's given us the Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of us. So not only is he with us, not only is he beside us, but he is inside of us. So the things that we do in our body, the things that we think with our mind and we say out of our mouth, God is present. And we need to really begin to have our youth to focus, to realize that and take that more seriously and take it more seriously. The Bible says that he who hides shall not prosper. So while we're thinking we're hiding from everybody else, God sees us, therefore he's not allowing us to prosper. Amen. We're oftentimes wondering, how do we minister to a generation, to this generation that we have now? How do we minister to them? with everything that's going on. It seems like, you know, the world kind of, you know, grabbed them and it's taking them on this roller coaster ride. Everywhere you look, there's, you know, social media, that's, you know, TV, there's music. Everything is instant for them. You have the Snapchat, take a picture, put it up for 10 seconds and it's gone. And so that gives them an avenue to be sneaky, an avenue to be deceptive, an avenue to bring delusion into their lives. It brings forth avenues for them to do things that's not of God and think that they're getting away with it. And that's because they don't have the fear of God. We have fear of man, but not a fear of God. Our young ladies are, you know, they're doing things with their bodies. They're, you know, having sex before marriage. They don't want the parents to find out because the all going saying is, you know, they'll kill me if they find out. Doing drugs, drinking, we don't want our parents to find out because, you know, they'll get reprimanded, you know, whatever the case. But we fear the wrong thing. And what will stop us from doing things that are contrary to God's word, stop us from doing things that's not pleasing to God, is if we had that fear of God. Because that fear of God will drive us to be obedient. Because first we'll think of him. First, the thought that should always be on the forefront of my mind is, does this please God? That should always be our thought, our mentality, our mindset. Does this please God, or will it grieve him? Will being disrespectful to my parents, will that please God? Will waiting to the last minute to do homework assignments and, you know, get my work done or do my chores or do whatever it is, mom and dad or whoever says, does that please God? No, it wasn't. It won't. And when I just said that, waiting to the last minute, it runs something in my mind that how, you know, we're a procrastinating generation at that. We are people that will wait to the last minute to get stuff done. And now we have a generation that's waiting to the last minute to make up their mind if they want to be saved or not. If they want to follow Christ or not, if they want to be a Christian or not, they're deciding they want to wait till the last minute, the last hour. I'm going to have fun in my youth while I can. I'm going to, you know, do this as long as I can until I can't do it anymore. And then, you know, I'll give my life to Christ. I'll get myself ready first before I can go into the church. Last minute mentality. We have to get rid of that. We have to get rid of that in the church. And again, there is that lack of fear of God that we have. Deuteronomy the 6th chapter and the 2nd verse, it says this, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, and all the days of thy life, and thy days may be prolonged. I'll read that again. That thou mayest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all of his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, you, your son, and your son's son, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Now, we've used to hearing the scripture, if you obey your father and your mother, your days will be longer. Now we have the scripture that says that if you obey God, if you can just obey God, your days will be longer. So it's like we're not taking out the middleman, but if you do what's pleasing to God, then you'll automatically do what's pleasing to your parents. So if you fear God, you have the fear of the Lord. Excuse me. If you have the fear of the Lord, and you keep his statutes and his commandments, and that will please God. It says that will make your days prolonged or longer. So if you're doing the things that's pleasing God, automatically you will be obedient to your parents. So it's kind of like, you know, the process, the stepping stone. You do it unto God, and, you know, it's pleasing unto God what you do to your how you treat your parents. And so not only we have to be mindful, not only do you have to be obedient to your parents, but you have to be obedient to God, God first. God first, foremost, and always, because he reigns. He's the creator, and you're just the created. So we have to, because he is the creator, let's go back to that, because he is the creator, because he is who he is, because he's the one that has given you life, because he's the one that has been providing for you, providing for us, that has been all sovereign, that has been all knowing, that has kept us from hurt, harm, and danger, that has seen us through whatever trials, that didn't let, you know, certain things happen. You can go through the entire 66 books of the Bible and pick out a reason why you should feel, why you should fear God. Pick out a reason, any reason. It's all through there. If you want to start with Deuteronomy, it's filled with them. And the fear of God, fearing God, the fear of God or fearing the Lord is mentioned well over 300 times in the Bible, well over. And I'll just say 300 as the bare minimum. And that just lets you know, let us know how important that is, how important that is. Because like I said before, if we fear him, we have that reverence for him, that honor for him, that awe, then we'll do the things that he's commanding us to do much easier. His word says his commandments shouldn't be burdensome. It shouldn't be burdensome. We have a lot of young people, and I've heard it from young people that I've talked to, just had conversations with, and, you know, they're saying that, you know, Christianity is it's restricting. You know, they can't. It's to them, they look at it as a bunch of, you know, I can't do's. I can't do this. I can't do that. I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't do this. And they feel like it's restricting them from living. Therefore, they go, you know, the world has grabbed them with this picture-perfect delusion. I like that. Picture-perfect delusion that, you know, they can be free, free to do whatever it is they want and not have the consequences, or even have the consequences, but, you know, don't have to worry about it or deal with it. But that's actually the contrary. Like I say, it's a delusion. It's the delusion. Your freedom is actually in Christ. And your bondage actually comes from the world. So the things that the world is presenting to us, drugs, alcohol, sex, profane talk, slander, gossip, pick a word, anything that the world is presenting to us, it's a delusion. It's a delusion, and it is definitely not pleasing unto God. There is a scripture in Romans, and it just talks about one of the chief sins. It's Romans 3 and 18, to be exact. And the chief sin is that, well, I'll read it like this, that our chief sin is that we have no fear of God at all. That's what Romans 3 and 18 labels as having no fear of God at all. You don't reverence him. You don't honor him. You don't seek him. We don't seek him. The Bible says to acknowledge him in all thy ways and he will direct your path. There's no acknowledging. There's no not acknowledging unless we find ourselves in trouble. Then we acknowledge, then we want guidance, then we want the Lord to show up and show out. But if we do these things first, if we do these things prior to, he would definitely direct us in a path of righteousness, as he says in Psalms 23. But to have no fear of God at all is sin. And I want to keep just reiterating the fact that the fear is not that you're scared of the you're scared of going to hell, so you'll do it. It's not the scared that the fear that he's going to strike you down or, you know, he's going to bring some type of damnation upon you. And no, that's not the fear. The fear is definitely reverence and honor. Now I will say this though, is a fear that talks about that, but that's the fear for an unbeliever. An unbeliever should have a fear of judgment and eternal damnation. They should absolutely have that fear. So that's the fear for the non, for the unbeliever. So if that's your concern and you believe that you have confessed Christ as your Lord and Savior, you believe in his death, burial, resurrection, that you have been saved by grace, that is not the type of fear that you should have. That is the wrong fear. Your fear should be that of reverence and honor of who he is. And because of who he is, it should drive your obedience. Your love for him should drive your obedience. And again, scripture says that it should not be burdensome. It should be full of joy, full of life, full of freedom, and not thought of or looked at as, you know, not fun, or it's restricting you. That's a lie from the enemy that he would love for us to believe so that he can keep using you and walking over you and using you in his pond and his game. So let's not get distracted by that. So again, having no fear at all, as Romans 3:18 says, that that is sin. And we want to get to a place, young people, where we just value God. We value God. We value the cause of God. A lot of times, and I'll say this, I just want to encourage you that, yeah, I understand that a lot of people may not give you a chance or opportunity, especially in, you know, in church. So you're sitting there, all the adults are doing everything, and you're sitting there and you feel like you have no place. You don't know where you belong. You're not sure of your giftings or your talents and your abilities. What good could you bring to the church? Definitely want to encourage you to begin to cultivate your gifting. Begin to go to the leaders of the church and really have a talk with them. Let them know this is, you know, what I feel God has given me to do, whether it's writing, singing, drawing, if it's the ministry of helps, if you like fits and stuff, if you like cleaning up stuff, whatever it is that you like, that you have a passion for. We definitely want you to be free to use that gifting in church, because what happens is if we don't allow our young people to utilize their giftings in the church, then the world will pull them to use their giftings for the world. And so we have great anointed, talented singers that's singing secular and that's, you know, doing things all in the music videos or whatever. Or we have, you know, the writers that's writing things that's demonic, or, you know what I mean? So we want to encourage our young people, whatever your gifting is, whatever your calling is, to let us know that you want to be used, that you want to be utilized. I was to say this word, that you want to serve in a capacity where you can use your gift in the church so that God can be glorified through it. Amen. And I admonish us adults, youth pastors, youth leaders, youth ministers, to keep an eye open, keep a spiritual eye open, eye of discernment, and watch our young people. Watch them. Watch what they, you know, what they excel at, what they're good at, and whatever that is, allow them to do that for the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of God. Because if we don't give them a voice, if we don't allow them to do it, then it's just an open door for the enemy to come in and present something false to them. And we want to keep our youth. We want to save them and preserve them for the use and the use and the benefit of the kingdom of God. So we're going back to the fear, having the, and I don't want to keep using the word fear, just because I don't want to get anybody the wrong idea of what I'm saying. So the reverence, having the reverence of God, and again, should be that thing that drives our obedience. Deuteronomy 10, and I say it again, if you just want to go and just read through the book of Deuteronomy, where it just gives us a good look at what fearing the Lord does, what it brings unto us. Deuteronomy 10:12, it says, Now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So they say, what does God require of you but to reverence him? That's it. That's it. It's simple. It's simple. We try to make it so hard, like it's this never-ending to-do list. It's this never-ending list of things that God wants us to do. And you say, but what does God require of you but to fear him, but to reverence him, but to respect him, but to honor him, and to walk in all of his ways, and to love him? He doesn't want us to do anything but to love him and to serve him. And it says, with all of our heart and with all of our soul. Serve him with everything that we have. That is, and when we begin to do that, you know, we'll notice, we'll understand that our bad decision-making will lessen, because we're amongst a generation now that's just making bad decisions after bad decisions. One, because no one's holding them accountable. No one's holding them accountable, and they think they're being sneaky. They don't want anybody to know. So as long as, you know, the cover hasn't been pulled off yet, or they haven't been exposed yet, then they'll continue in the pattern and down the path of making bad decisions. So we have to hold our young people accountable, hold them accountable, so that, you know, we are not making bad decisions. But he just says, but what does God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, and to serve him with all thy heart and with all that soul, with all thy soul. And that's Deuteronomy 10 and 12. So we don't have to make it hard, people of God. We don't have to make it hard. It's real simple. And he summed up the commandments by saying, you know what, if you just love your brother and your sister, if you just love God, if you just love your brother, thy neighbor, it is you will automatically, you know, do everything else. If you just love. And love is a powerful word. Love is that, you know, that powerful thing. And we'll probably talk about that either later on in this segment, or either the next segment that I do. Next month we'll begin to talk about the love of God, the benefits of having, you know, the love of God, and what that looks like in our young people, and the lack thereof, what it looks like in our young people. But if we can just serve him and do the things that he requires us to do. Also, if we look at Psalms 128, and I love this chapter. I love it because it just pretty much lets you know the blessings of fearing God. It's kind of like the Deuteronomy 28 chapter, but for the fearing God aspect of it. And I will pull it up in 1 second. Let me give me. Okay. And I'll just read it in the New Living Translation. It's like a song of pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem. How joyful or blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy thou shalt be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about the table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. That was the King James Version. I will now read the New Living Translation. And say, how joyful are those who fear the Lord, all who follow his ways. You will enjoy the fruit of your labor. How joyful and prosperous you will be. Your wife will be like a fruitful grapevine, flourishing within your home. Your children will be like vigorous young olive trees as they sit around your table. This is the Lord's blessing for those who fear him. May the Lord continually bless you from Zion. May you see Jerusalem prosper as long as you live. May you live to enjoy your grandchildren. May peace have Israel. So here we have it. He you know, letting you know the things that will come upon you if we, if you fear the Lord. And I know young people are like, you know, it's talking about my wife and my grandkids, and I'm not really thinking this far. I'm just trying to live to see tomorrow. Here's the thing. You fear God. You have the fear of God in you. You will see tomorrow. Because that is one of his blessings. That's one of his blessings, that you may enjoy your grandchildren. So not only will you see tomorrow, but the, you know, you will produce seed and be able to see your seed and your seed shield. And it said that you will enjoy them. Up at the top when it says you will enjoy the fruit of your labor. How joyful and prosperous will you be? So that puts a end to the, you know, being a Christian, you know, it's no fun, that it's restricting. That denotes that right there. It says that you will enjoy the fruit of your labor, the work that you do, the serving him, loving him, him blessing the work of your hands, putting in work, and just being a good and faithful servant. You will enjoy that, and you will find it enjoying and prosperous, and you don't have to do all the things that the world is telling you that you need to do in order to have fun, in order to enjoy life, because that seems to be the, you know, the running theme now with our generation. Just want to enjoy life. No. It's a delusion. It's a delusion, and it's a lie from the enemy, from Satan, to get you to do the things that he wants you to do. If that's your model for, or if that's your reason for rejecting God's obedience, for rejecting pleasing God, if that's your reason for rejecting fearing him, that is a lie. And we cast it down and we tear it down now, that following his statutes, he promised that it will be blessed, that it will be joyful, it will be prosperous, and your household will be blessed when you fear God. And you do not understand that there's some things that that comes upon your lineage, the generations after you, because of your obedience, because of the things that you do that's pleasing to God. So we want us to enjoy our grandchildren, because that's one of God's blessings that we have a right and access to. Amen. And so when you look at the things, I want us to, you know, just take a moment and sit back and think, well, what is keeping me? What are some of the things or thoughts that I think about that's keeping me from fearing God? Because like I said earlier, in the beginning of the segment, a lot of times our fear is in the wrong people, and it's the wrong type of fear. And I want to just talk real, you know, now we fear our young ladies. The abortion rate is through the roof. Now our young ladies, they're fearful of parents, what the parents will say, the mistakes that they've made in the past. And because of that fear, it drives them to murder. We're not going to sugarcoat it at all. It's murder. Absolutely. And it's not pleasing to God. But, you know, it's just let you know how delusional fear of man can be. When we fear man, when we fear the things that man can do. The Bible says that don't fear man who can't put your that can't kill you, but fear him who has a place to put your soul and your life in. Paraphrasing, because he was saying you're doing things out of fear of people. You're doing things because of what people will say. You're doing things because of what people will think or what people will do. But I need you to do it to be, oh, I'm the one who has the last say so. I'm the one who has supreme authority in my word stands. I'm the one who has a place to put your soul in, whether heaven or hell, that's me. Can't nobody else put you, they have no hell or heaven to put you in. That's the same. But so God says, you don't have to fear them. Your obedience should be driven by the fear, the reverence, the honor of who I am. of who I am, and that should be the driving factor. So, again, just going back to some of the things that we do, the bad decisions we make that our young people are making because they fear the wrong people. They fear their friends. They fear the gangs. They fear teachers or family members, whatever the case may be. But not to have your fear in any of that. Not to have your fear in any of that. Your focus, like I said in the beginning, should be that of, does this please God? If you have to say that before every decision that you make, before every thought that you have, then do so, the fear that you should have, because you're thinking about him. You're thinking about him before you make a decision. You're wondering how it would make him feel. You wonder, you know, how it would, you know, look to him. And sometimes we are all consumed with wanting to make other people feel good. So we do things for other people, but we can't have that mindset. We want to make other people happy. So we'll do things that please them. And we want to put a stop to that. Retrain your mindset to now, I have a fear of God. It's not driven by, I don't want to go to hell. It's driven by, I love him and he loves me. It's driven by, he knows what's best for me. It's driven by, if I acknowledge him, then he'll direct my path. It's driven by the love and the reverence, the honor, the respect that I have for him because he's my God, because he's my Father. Because he's my shepherd, because he's Lord, because he's healed me, because, put it in there. But just transforming our mind to a place that reverences God, that puts him first. Even in dating scenes, the world is telling us we should have sex before marriage. You're dating, you should be having sex. You're dating, you should be, you know, doing all these types of lustful, perverse things. But ask yourself the question, will this please God? Is this pleasing unto him? What would he think of me if I do this behavior? What would he have to say if I go through with this? So these are questions that you should ask yourself when you're going through things, when situations, when temptations arise. That was, the Bible says, you resist temptation, the enemy will flee. Resist the devil, he will flee. Resist and he flees. That's part of the mindset of the training of fearing God. I want to read you another scripture because fearing God is something that is learned. It's something that we have to teach, that you have to be taught. I'll say that I'm trying to find my scripture. But it's something that has to be taught. Here we have it. Psalms 34. And this is King David. This is David. It says, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Keep your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So he says that I will teach you to fear God. I will teach you the fear of God. So it's something that has to be taught. Just as in everything, when you're beginning to crawl, it's not something that you automatically do, but it's a process. You first, the baby gets up on his knees and, you know, they do that back and forth motion till they try to figure out, okay, do I want to go forward? Do I want to go backward? They might go backward a little bit, but eventually they figure it out. They learn. And then as parents, you want to guide them, even mimic the activity. You might get down on all fours and begin to show them, look, this is how you do. When they begin to walk, You know, it's not something that they automatically know. It's something that they're taught, that they have to learn how to do. They have to learn how to balance all of that body, balance the head, balance, you know, keep it all in line so that they're able, you know, to walk, to keep the ankle straight. I'm saying all this to say that they have to be taught some things. So being fearful of God is something that we have to be taught, and we're probably amongst a generation that wasn't taught that. And for that, us as leaders, as adults, as parents, we have to repent. We have to repent if we did not instill in our children to fear God. If we instilled in them to fear us more than fearing God. If we instilled in them, oh, my God. And I see that. I see that. We want them to hear our voice. We want them to respond to what we say. We only want to say things one time. We don't want to have to yell across the room. But we teach them to fear us and not fear God. So, therefore, they have no enablement, nothing's in them that triggers, you know what, I should think about God first before I think about what mama's going to say. Because like I said in the beginning, if we think about, you know, how it affects God or is it pleasing to God, if it pleases God, it will automatically, you know, be what's right in everybody else's sight. Not all the time, because people can be a little cuckoo, but hey, that's on them. But pleasing God. Pleasing God. And if we, and like I said, it's a thing that has to be taught. So now, begin to teach. Begin to teach. Begin to train. And for those, you know, the youth that's listening now, begin to teach yourself. Pick up your Bible. What does God say about this situation? What does God, you know, mean when he says, you know, to fear you with all, you know, to serve him and to love him with all my heart and with all of my soul? What does that mean? So when you find out what that means, then you're like, oh, okay, I can do that. I can do that. And it says that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom or knowledge. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, because when you begin to learn, when you begin to learn what thus says the Lord says, when you begin to learn what's pleasing to God, then you'll begin to have that fear of God. But it starts off with the knowledge of him. It starts off with the knowledge of who he is, what he desires. It starts off with that knowledge. And that's why it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, because that's where it starts. We have to learn it. We have to learn it, and we have to cultivate it. You have to cultivate it. Amen. So we have a couple of benefits. Like, well, what's the benefits of pleasing God? What's the benefits of having, you know, this fear of God? What's the benefits of reverencing him like that? Because I'm cool as I am. I'm good. You know, that's what we say now. I'm good. I don't need nothing. I'm cool. But no, you're actually not good if that's your mentality. Sorry to bust your bubble. But here we have Proverbs 23, and it says, do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. For surely there is therefore, and your hope will not be cut off. Do not let your heart be envy for sinners, or do not let your heart envy sinners. And that's a lot of the thing that we have going on, you know, in the world now. I look at the reality shows, and I don't watch them, but you have the commercials that come on. That was a show that I used to watch. I'll tell you this. I used to watch, and it was the last reality show I watched. It was The Flavor of Love, and I'll tell you how long ago that was. But I remember being so excited. I would come home from work. It was, Thursday evening, 8 o'clock or so. I come home. I get my dinner ready, get my popcorn, get my bucket or whatever it is I'm going to have so I can sit down and I can watch me some reality drama. That's all it is, some drama. But then you had these ladies vying after the attention of Flavor Flav, and I'll leave it at that. And now, just from, you know, stemming off of that, we have the other shows, the Real Housewives of Atlanta, the House Husbands of Hollywood, Real Husbands of Hollywood. I mean, we just have all of these things, the music stars, and we find ourselves wanting to portray those types of lifestyles. We find ourselves wanting to be on these shows. We find ourselves wanting to live the delusion that they're living or portraying to us, and we find ourselves wanting these things. We find ourselves being even envious of what they have, what they're doing, what they're driving, why they're, you know, what they're living, who they with, how many they with. We find ourselves envious about these things. We want it. We want it, just a piece of it. But God says that don't let your heart be heavy. Don't let your heart envy sinners, because you should have the fear of God. And not only just have it, but be zealous. There's going back to enjoying Christianity, enjoying your salvation, enjoying living righteous and holy. Be zealous about it, and not envying sinners, not desiring the things that they have, the things that they do, what they say, what they wear. And that's like huge. Now, every time some new trend or whatever a star come out with, then we see our whole generation shifting and changing to it. Shifting and changing to it, when we're supposed to be the ones that's mimicked or framed after, when we're supposed to be the ones that they go to, that they look up to, but instead we go to them. Instead, we look at the world for our fashion statements or our fashion sense. We look at the world for our advice. We look at the world for our thumbs up, our pat on the back. We look at the world for these things. But he tells us, don't be envy of sinners, but to be zealous, for the fear of the Lord is in you. So just wanted to tell you that we don't have to be envy of those things. And I know it's a lot of information. I know it's a lot of scripture. I know it's a lot to take in, especially for those that probably never heard the phrase fear of the Lord or heard it and didn't know what it means. That's why it's important. We have those that say that they're a God-fearing man, looking for a God-fearing man, looking for a God-fearing woman, because they're the ones who are supposed to be keeping their word, that's supposed to be doing what's pleasing God. And remember, I said, if they please God, then they will please you. It's hand in hand. Now, when they don't please God, then they let you down. So having a God-fearing mate, God-fearing woman, God-fearing man, and yes, we'll make mistakes. Absolutely. We'll absolutely make mistakes. The thing about it is, I take that back, you don't have to. You don't have to make mistakes. You don't have to fall short. That's the Bible, and we always get this tripped up and twisted too, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we never look at the tense of that word sinned, which is the past tense, which means we were washed with the blood of the Lamb when Jesus Christ died on a cross and rose again for the atonement of our sins. So no, we have a right now to live a life that is sinless, blameless, and spotless, just as he walked the earth. So I said that to say this, that being zealous for God is important. I said that to say this, that we don't have to desire or want to do the things that the world does, but we have that fear of God that drives our obedience, that fear of God that drives our compassion, that drives our love for him in everything that we do. Amen. And A lot of information, but take it in, soak it in. If you need to listen to this, play it back a couple of times to get it all marinated down in your spirit, then do so. But it was just a heaviness on me as I just found myself praying this week and just looking at the news and everything going on and just looking at a world, a generation that does not have a fear of God, that lacks that. And we went around the, across the, over Romans 3 and 18 scripture that says that that was the chief sin, not to have a fear of God at all. And we're amongst that time. We're amongst that time. But it's not too late. It is not too late. We don't have to be the procrastinating generation anymore, waiting to the last second, the last hour, waiting for something detrimental to happen before we decide to change our mind. But we have the time, and the hour is now for us to decide that we want to fear God, and we want to surround ourselves with God-fearing people. With God-fearing people, that's very important. Excuse me. That's very important to surround yourselves with those that fear God, that are like-minded, like you, who are, you know, the light, so that you're not easily swayed. Amen. And not saying that you have to delete anybody. We don't delete nobody. But we do impact change. We do influence people. And so as we make up in our mind, as we make the decision to fear God, allow that to influence those that are around us. Allow that to influence those that are around us. As the scripture in 1 Samuel had said, that when you fear God and when you obey his voice and when you serve him, that you and the king that reign over you will follow the Lord your God. So it's contagious. It's contagious, but you have to first make up in your mind that that's what you want to do and stay to it and don't be swayed, you know, to and fro. Don't, you know, fear God today and then you have no knowledge of him tomorrow. That's a double-minded man that's unstable in all his ways, and that's a lukewarm who the Bible says that God will spew out of his mouth. But to make a decision. Make a decision. We're amongst the youth, and I understand that a lot of you may not know your purpose. You may not know. You know, you're still searching. We have a generation that's searching. They're searching for identity. They're searching for purpose. Searching, you know, for anything that to kind of validate who they are and why they're here. But I'm here to tell you on tonight that God has purpose for you. God has purpose for you. And to begin to start that process of finding out what that is, it's as simple as beginning with just fearing him, honoring him, reverence him, acknowledging him so that he can direct your paths, acknowledging him so that he can lead you, you know, down the path that you should go, that he can lead you to your purpose, let you know what your, you know, the reason why he had a thought to create you and then formed you and spoke you to existence. I often pray this all the time that I want to know God's thought behind my creation. I want those thoughts he have come to pass. For Jeremiah says, I know the plans that I have for you. I know the thoughts that I have for you, good and not of evil, to bring you to a perfected end. So we, a generation, we need to begin to pursue God's thoughts. What is he thinking about me? What was his thought when he created me? What was his thought when he saw need of me in this earth? And that's the reason why you're here, because he had need of you to be here. But whatever that reason was, and I was ministering to a young lady the other day, and I often say this, is that when you know the purpose of something, you're less likely to abuse it or misuse it. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that when you know your purpose, your created purpose, the purpose that God had when he thought you and spoke you to existence, when you know that, you won't abuse it. You won't misuse it. The reason why we're looking for our validation from everybody and our identity, and we're searching for our yes crowd, and we're searching, you know, for everything, is because we don't know our purpose. So I adjure you on this evening to begin to pray, to begin to seek, to begin to ask God, God, what is my purpose? Why did you create me? Why did you have need for me in this earth? What is it that I'm supposed to be doing? What are you calling me to do? And all of this goes together, because when you know that, when he shares that with you, and he will, when he shares that with you, and you receive it, you're receptive of it, then you're less likely to dishonor him. You're less likely to go the other way. You're less likely to abuse it and misuse it. Because it's like, let's take a pencil for instance. I remember back in grammar school all the time, I used to break pencils. I don't know why. I could not tell you. I think I liked the sound of the snap or something when it broke. So I would have this bag full of half pencils because I would break all of my pencils, not knowing that it was hard for me to write with a broken pencil, like the little, what we call the nubs, that's real short, it's just a little piece of it. It was hard for me to write with that. I didn't care. I didn't know that I needed a full length for me to hold on to be able to write and form my letters correctly. So because I didn't know the purpose of a full length pencil for me, I just broke them all just because I liked the sound of it when it broke. I had no other reason to be breaking pencils than that. Retarded, I know. I was special, but that's okay. I thank God for deliverance. But I said that, say that again. I didn't understand the purpose. I was like, why do you need this big, long pencil and you only write with the tip of it? So that was my logic. You only write with the tip of it. But, yeah. There's something about having a full-length pencil. When you write with just a little nub, the writing changes. You can't grab it correctly. The same thing with our purpose, with our life. We don't understand the full reason of us being here, so we waste it away. We do things to damage it. We do things to shorten it. Hallelujah. We do things to shorten our life just because we like the sound of it. We like the way it looks. Whatever, just because. We have no other reason, and that's because we don't know the purpose of it. So going back to having our fear and our reverence of God, all of this goes together, our purpose, honoring God, our Father, our Creator, honoring him for what he's done and what he's doing, who he's created us to be. And we definitely want to have a better understanding now of having what it means to fear God. What it means to fear God. Yeah, hopefully, preferably, we have a better understanding of that, and we can be obedient to his word. We're, you know, not fearful of people and what they can do to us. We're not making our decisions based off of what people think or because we're scared or, you know, whatever the reason why. But we're making better choices, wiser choices, because we want to do what's pleasing to God. We want to honor him. We want to respect him. We want to reverence him with our life. We want to inspire others to reverence him. Amen. So I just adjure us on this evening for all those that are listening to begin to pray. And I'll just pray for this last moment, for that to be reestablished and instilled in our young people. So, Father God, we thank you on this evening, oh Lord God. We thank you for this hour, Father God. I pray even now, Holy Spirit, you begin, God, to instill, oh God, a godly fear, oh Lord God, of you, God, the fear of God, to reinstill, reinstate, reestablish, oh Lord God, the fear of God back into your people, God, back into this generation, oh Lord God, that they will honor you, God, that they will reverence you, God, that they will seek you first, God, the kingdom of God, and all those in your righteousness, and all those things shall be added unto them, O Lord God. We pray, O Lord God, a godly fear, godly wisdom, O Lord God, in the name of Jesus, O Lord God, that you'll reestablish their purpose in them, O Lord God, in the name of Jesus, God. So we pray this for our youth over our seeds and our seeds. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you for joining us on tonight. We look forward to hearing from you on next month with Nothing But the Truth, our youth segment. Have a good evening.